All right, so clicking over to slide 29. When triglycerides are metabolized, glycerol can be converted to glucose and provide energy. And also it wants you to know about saturated fats. They are hard at room temperature, commonly found in animal meats, lard, butter, coconut oil, and palm oil. Saturated fats have been really villainized over the last, we'll say, 30, 40 years, kind of as the cause for heart disease. But like I kind of mentioned, the cholesterol myth will go into the fact that saturated fat doesn't really have anything to do with heart disease or weight gain or anything like that. And in fact, it's actually pretty dang healthy. One of the funnest facts I like to throw out about that is that our body is actually made up of about 60% saturated fats. And that's because all of our cells are coated with a saturated fat membrane. So yeah, go saturated fat. It's really good. Coconut oil is awesome. So clicking over to slide number 30, we'll actually stay on 29 really quick. Glycerol, like I said, when triglycerides are metabolized, glycerol can be converted to glucose and provide energy. For those people that are really skeptical of a low-carbohydrate diet, when you eat fat, you get carbohydrates in a way. It's not a ton of carbohydrates like eating actual carbohydrates gets you, but you aren't. It is possible to live 100% without any carbohydrates and be completely fine. That's because fat or triglycerides have sugar or carbohydrates in them. So looking over to slide number 30, lipids, let's go over them in more detail. Unsaturated fats are going to be or promote good cholesterol, whatever. And are typically things like, or that are soft at room temperature. Monounsaturated fats are a type of unsaturated fat, olive oil, canola oil, almond oil. Polyunsaturated fats are found in peanuts, macadamia nuts, safflower oil, and corn oil. Trans fats are basically unhealthy. They're fake fats. They're made in a laboratory, more or less, or under high heat. And a test question comes around trans fatty acids in the sense that trans fatty acids have gone through the process of hydrogenation, winky smiley, and are unhealthy as they are considered damaging to cells. So if it asks about what a trans fat is, it's basically a regular fat or a saturated fat that it, or a polyunsaturated fat that has gone under the process of hydrogenation, which makes it more stable and can be preserved for long periods of time. Twinkies last for 24 years on the shelf because they have plenty of trans fat to keep them stable and not have bacteria eat at them or eat them. Good, looking over towards slide 31, functions of lipids, provides energy at 9 calories per gram. This is where the calorie theory people are freak out because, oh my God, it's got so much more energy per gram that if you eat a lot of fat, you're going to get fat because it provides more calories. Okay, maybe. Do some more research, you know, find out what you believe in, and we'll see how that goes. Or we'll see how that stands up as far as the test of time. Transports fat-soluble vitamins. So lipids also transport fat-soluble vitamins such as A, D, E, and K. Although NASM doesn't bring up the fat-soluble vitamins on the test, it is important to memorize them as they are, we'll say, potentially toxic, meaning that A, D, E, and K are stored in your fat and stored in fat as it enters your body. Therefore, you can get too high concentrations of them. As opposed to water-soluble vitamins are not able to be stored in fat. They're stored in water, so you can just pee those right out of your body. All right, so cellular membrane structure and function. Like I mentioned before, lipids make up our cell membranes and their structure, and then they also have functions within our cells. Also, precursors to hormones, specifically things like testosterone and estrogen. Fat makes up testosterone. Testosterone, if you guys know, is a very anabolic hormone that promotes muscle growth and promotes fat loss. Hence why it is extremely important to have fat in your diet and not go extremely low fat, otherwise you hinder your body's ability to create important hormones like testosterone. Meaning eat more fat, potentially have more precursors to testosterone, potentially increase testosterone, potentially look shredded, and gain muscle. Hey, that sounds nice. Organ protection as well, meaning that most of us store fat around our midsection, and that is a genetic property to protect and keep warm our organs. And also prolongs digestive process by slowing gastric emptying. Typically when you eat something that's very high fat, you stay full for a longer period of time. That's because it fills the stomach more, we'll say. All right, clicking over to slide 32, lipid recommendations. So for fat loss and overall health goals, 20 to 35% of total calories should be from fat. It's funny that we try to, or the government and other specific entities try to villainize fat and say that you shouldn't eat too much fat and low fat this and high carb this, and then they talk about having essential amounts of fat, and you need to have fat in your diet in the sense of 20 to 35% of calories. Fat is impossible to live without, meaning you can't just eat protein and carbs because there are such things as essential fatty acids. Okay, moving to slide 33, digestion, satiety, and usage within fat. Digestion of dietary fat starts in the mouth. That typically is a test question. Actually, but that's more on the fitness nutrition specialist, not too much on the CPT. But digestion of fat starts in the mouth, moves to the stomach, is incompleted, and then is completed in the small intestine. Next, dietary fats stimulate the release of leptin and cholecystokinin, CCK, which are hormones that signal satiety. Meaning, if you have fat in your diet, you might not eat as much because you're full quick. And that's someone like trying to have a extremely large steak that is or extremely large ribeye and getting a ton of fat and being very, very signaled to stop eating because it's so much fat. As opposed to having Cokes all day, you can have 100 Cokes, it seems like, and not feel any sort of signaling of satiety. All right, so additionally, fats slow the digestion of foods and assist in blood sugar stabilization. And also, medium-chain triglycerides can be used as fuel, such as coconut oil. Typically, coconut oil is used as fuel and not stored. Medium-chain triglycerides and coconut oil are, guess what, saturated fat. So NASM kind of slaps itself on the hand here by recommending medium-chain triglycerides or coconut oil when they also say at the same time don't have that much saturated fat. All right, looking over to 34, insulin resistance and obesity. Before I get into this, let's first quickly go over the test question that comes from this section. Having the conditions of obesity, insulin resistance, and hypertension is called metabolic syndrome. Okay, obesity, insulin resistance, and hypertension. Those three make up metabolic syndrome. That will come up on the test. And specifically, it will be asked in the sense of which of the following, or the condition or the characteristics of obesity, insulin resistance, and hypertension make up which of the following. And then it's metabolic syndrome. Or it might be vice versa, I forget. So, next, and getting into insulin resistance and obesity. The growing fat cell itself becomes insulin resistant, and the resulting prevalence of free fatty acid, or FFA, will cause the body to favor the use of fat for energy at the expense of glucose. This becomes a vicious cycle with the overweight condition leading to insulin resistance, or IR, which in turn leads to impaired glucose use. Poor eating habits are strongly associated with obesity and thus insulin resistance and diabetes. They're basically putting this in the fat section because they're saying that fat causes all of these bad things to happen, when in all reality it is not fat, but maybe sugar and high carb. You never know. 35. Water, general recommendations. So as we get into a little bit more on nutrition, they're going to talk about water. It is important to understand that men need about 13 cups per day. And females need about, or women need, 9 cups of water per day. Typically, I tend to just say aim for a gallon, male or female, and you're going to be totally fine. Or more. So a fat loss program requires an additional 8 ounces of water for every 25 pounds a person carries above their ideal weight. So just add more water because water is, or fat does break down through the process of hydrolysis or lipolysis, which is using water to break down fat. Encouraging a client to drink a gallon of water will leave them at or above their need for the day, like I mentioned. Intake should be increased if a client is exercising briskly or in a hot climate, for sure. Slide 36. The importance of water. Water makes up about 60% of the adult human body weight, and a fluid loss of 2% of body weight adversely affects circulatory function and decreases performance, meaning that could lead to dehydration. Benefits of water include improves endocrine gland function, increases the percentage of fat used for energy purposes, decreases appetite, distributes nutrients throughout the body efficiently, regulates body temperature, and maintains blood volume. No questions there. Good, water and performance. Effects of dehydration. bad. Dehydration is bad. You will have decreased blood volume, decreased performance, decreased blood pressure, decreased sweat rate, decreased blood flow to the skin, decreased cardiac output, increased heart rate, increased perceived exertion, and increased use of muscle glycogen. Looking to slide 38, guidelines for fluid replacement. Consume 14 to 22 ounces of fluid 2 hours before exercise, and drink 6 to 12 ounces of fluid for every 15 to 20 minutes of exercise. Fluid should be cool to encourage the rapid gastric emptying and also to decrease body temperature. So guidelines for fluid replacement continued on slide 39. If exercise is less than 60 minutes, water is the best choice for fluid replacement. And also ingest 16 to 24 ounces of fluid for every pound of body weight lost after exercise, especially if rapid rehydration is necessary. So for every pound of body weight lost after exercise, drink 16 to 24 ounces of water. That's going to be important to know for the test. Slide number 40, altering body composition. Fat loss. Make small decreases in food and beverages and beverage calories and increase physical activity. Distribute protein, carbohydrate, distribute protein, carbohydrate, and fat through the day and at each meal. Choose whole grains and fresh vegetables over refined grains and simple sugars. Avoid empty calories and highly processed foods. Drink 9 to 13 cups of water per day and weigh and measure foods for at least a week. Not my exact recommendations, but according to NASM, this is what they want you to know. Number 41, lean body mass gain. Eat 4 to 6 meals per day, meaning eat more and more frequently to optimize your protein intake and continue muscle feeding, you can say, at a consistent basis. And spread protein intake throughout the day. Consume a meal or drink a protein and carbohydrate within 90 minutes after exercise. And remember the importance of carbohydrate and fat in a balanced diet. Good. Looking over to slide 42. They're just going to go over some basic myths. Do I agree with all of these? No, but let's just go ahead and go through them. Do carbohydrates make me fat? No. Carbohydrates are a necessary nutrient. Select carbohydrates high in fiber to help with satiety, blood sugar regulations, and energy balance, and avoid overconsumption of processed carbohydrates. Okay, and that is true. Everyone pretty much in the whole industry agrees that you shouldn't have much processed carbohydrates or sugars. All right, looking over to the next one. Does eating at night make me fat? No. Weight gain is a result of eating too many calories, not the time of day you consume those calories. I'm more in the sense of eat the right foods and don't worry about when you eat. All right, slide 44. Which is superior for fat loss, low fat or low carb? Neither. Weight loss is achieved when calories consumed are less than calories expended. If only it was that simple. And most importantly from this slide, a loss of water contributes to rapid weight loss when consuming a low carbohydrate diet. So a test question that might come up is basically, which of the following can be attributed to weight loss on a low carbohydrate diet? And then it will, or to rapid weight loss in a low carbohydrate diet. And it's typically a loss of water. That's the way that they'll kind of phrase that question. Looking to slide 45, increased malnutrition, or what are the risks of starvation diets? Don't starve yourself, guys. Increased malnutrition, poor energy, behavioral pendulum, meaning depression, bad mood, constipation, nausea, diarrhea, fatigue, gallstone formation, and also it is very important to be under the supervision of a medical professional when eating any diet below 1,000 calories. Yeah, never eat a diet that low. But if you do, it is an NASM test question, you must be under the supervision of a medical professional. Good. Looking to slide 47 or slide 46, we have, is consuming a high-protein diet superior for muscle gain? Maybe not necessarily a super high, crazy amount of protein is best for muscle gain or is better for muscle gain, but definitely eating enough protein is going to be important. Active individuals need more protein than sedentary people. NASM agrees. I agree. I'm more along the lines of maybe 1 gram per pound to 2 grams per pound. They're a little bit more conservative at the 0.5 to 0.8 grams per pound. All right, so to summarize it all up, diet plays an important role in a person's health, appearance, energy, and performance, as well as affecting results from exercise and overall well-being. A proper nutritional background is an essential component to being a well-rounded fitness professional. However, the fitness professional should not instruct clients on the use of diet to treat illness or high-risk cases. So to kind of summarize up the entire thing, it's important to understand your macronutrients, protein, carbs, and fats, understand where they come from, what the recommendations are around them, as well as understanding a little bit about your specific needs depending on whether you want to lose weight, whether you want to gain muscle, and also your clients' needs around their goals. So, thank you for checking it out. Go ahead and complete the quiz and the assignment for this chapter, and I look forward to seeing you down below at the book lecture.